You know that song we just sung when Josh opened up, and he was saying he wanted to focus really on what Mary saw. I think what we sung is what she saw in the Lord Jesus, which made her worship. And I think really that song and the song we ended with today at the Lord's table was, I wish I could have said that as my ministry last week, because I think that expresses everything the Lord's trying to say. This is who I am. I'm holy. And because I'm so holy and so wonderful, our only response is to worship Him. And that's what we were doing this morning. It was wonderful. But I think this is exactly what Mary saw. So everything we were singing about in Jesus. So let's go ahead and look at a couple of scriptures, okay? In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, about the middle of verse 2, the Lord says to His people, He told Moses in verse 1, tell the people, speak this to the people. He said, be holy, for I am holy. And then I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. And read this. You can see I cut off some of the verse. It says, pursue peace with all men. But really, my focus would like to be this morning, pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we worship You this morning. We thank You that You have made it so that we can come to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for His sacrifice, for His coming down from heaven to be that sacrifice, for His going to the cross, and for Your raising Him from the dead and sitting Him at the right hand, Your right hand. And Lord, we do say with the songs we're singing, He is worthy. He's worthy to be where He's at. He's worthy to be worshipped and adored. He's worthy to have all these accolades put upon Him. There's none higher than He. And we bow before Him this morning. Lord, we ask that You would reveal Yourself to us through Your word and encourage us to get hold of the things You want us to get hold of, so that we might be those vessels that You want us to be, that You've planned us to be from the beginning of time. Lord, we tell You how much we need Your help. Only You can reveal Yourself. Only You can speak the things that You want to speak. Only You can open hearts. So we ask You by Your Holy Spirit to open up the Word and speak it into our hearts, that You might have a return for Your Word to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As a good teacher, what do all good teachers do?
Review.
Okay. All right. We used these verses last week, but last week I wanted to look at it this way. First, when we looked at these things, this was really the key to last week. Be holy. For I am holy, with the emphasis on not us being holy, but on who He is, on who our God is. And I was mentioning that I had been in some dark times, because not dark being spiritually dark, of no fault of the Lord, but of my own fault. And I had been reading the prophets, and we talked about that. And the whole idea was out of the prophets, I was starting to ask the question, well, why are they telling these to the people of God? Why do they have to tell these to the people of God? And then finally, that the people had to go into captivity. And my question was then, why do they have to go into captivity here, the people of God? Why do they have to go? What's wrong with those people? Of course, you know when you point a finger, you know, you got three pointing back at you. So in looking at that, I found this. This is what came to me. They had lost the sense of who God is. For themselves, they had lost that sense of who He is. And that's what we are singing about today. He's holy. They'd lost that sense of that. And because of that, anytime you lose the sense of who God is, it has an effect on your life. And it has a negative effect on your life. Because if you remember the prophets, if you read the prophets, they're very corrective. And they're correcting the behavior of God's people because their behavior was messed up. It's not only that they might have been stealing or committing adultery, but they're also, you know, profaning His worship and profaning His name. And so anytime you lose the sense of who God is, then you find out you lose the sense of His calling for you. And it's different. You don't see it the same way. And so that's what we were looking at last time and losing that. And so in getting back to that, really, in reviewing, I talked about A.W. Pink had written this book, The Attributes of God. And in it we had all these things there. And I added one because I said at the end they should have had this one. Pink should have had this one. That was righteousness. But all of these things, those are 16 attributes of God. And He's all of these things. And the sum total of all that would be this. He's holy. You add up all these things together in one magnificent being. And what you have is holiness. And we talked about holiness being, in one way, being a purity, a moral purity. But in other ways, as many people have said, it means other. He's just not like us. He's other. I mean, we looked at these things last time. I asked, which one would you take out if you could take one out? And I think we all agree, let's take out wrath. Okay? A lot easier than that. But you know, he has anger. He has wrath. And I wish I would have said this a little bit last time. You know, he has an abhorrence of sin. He cannot be in the presence of sin. And so that's what God is. That's who He is. Not what He is. That's who He is. I am holy. That was what He wants us to know. He wants us to know His holiness. And in looking at that, we said that God wanted us, desired for us to know His name, His full name. I am who I am. Not the pick and choose. I am your provision. I am this for you. This for you. No, I am who I am. Whether it's for you or not, this is who I am. And yes, if you take me as your Savior, I am these things to you, but I'm more than just for you. This is who I am in my entirety. And it's the whole package. There is no pick and choosing. It's the whole thing. You get my love, but you get my wrath. You get my righteousness, but you have my mercy. All of these things are ours in this one whom we worship and this one who's redeemed us and saved us. They're all Him. And so He said He desires us to know His name, His whole name, because that's who He is. And then we looked at Moses and how God called him from the burning bush. The idea that God, in knowing His name, as terrible as that name is, you know something, what I mean by terror, it strikes terror in us sometimes. It's not the love that strikes terror in us, but it's the other things, the righteousness, the wrath, the all-knowing, that He knows right, He can look right through us and see us. He knows what we're thinking. He knows where we've been. I know your works. But He desires us to approach Him. And He makes a way for us to approach Him. And then as we come and approach Him, we find that He's holy. And that our life has to be adjusted as we approach Him. But that doesn't stop Him from getting us to approach Him. He'll deal with that as we approach Him. But He wants us to approach. So He can deal with us and draw us near. And then we talked about from Isaiah how He desires to reveal to us His majesty and His holiness. And he wants to do this so that we forever lose our idea that we are something, that we can merit something from him, that we can earn something from him, that we can be on par with him in any way. We have to see ourselves in the light of who he is, in his majesty and holiness, where we abhor ourselves. We fall down before him. We say, who can ever save me? And that's when he says, I can. So we're forever cured of that, looking at ourselves as if we're something and that we can do something to earn his favor, to earn any merit, to have any merit that earns his favor. And then we talked about that when we get to these places, like in David in Psalm 8, he takes us and he shows us how big he is. You read Psalm 8, David's out probably in the fields. God bless you. And looking at the heavens. And I don't know if you guys have ever looked in the heavens before, because you guys really don't have mountains here in Virginia. They're kind of hills. Okay. California, we have mountains. All right. They're the steepest mountains in the United States. Sierra Nevada. If you go out there backpacking, and, you know, what are these mountains over here? 4,000 feet? Yeah, that's right. Biggest mountain in the contiguous United States, Mount Whitney in California, 14,000 feet. You go backpacking there, and on a clear night, you see heaven. It is incredible what you see. And you feel odd, and you feel so small. And that's what David did. And David, in looking at that, go, you know, what is man? And that's when God shows him his purpose for man. And it's not just a purpose of, David, you're going to be king. But it's the purpose for, the eternal purpose that God has for man. That he wants him to share that rule with him. Because he wants to rule through him. He wants a vessel that he can rule through. And that's his purpose for man. And that's what we talked about last time. And we also just ended it with this. That those people in Babylon who went to Babylon and were called back, there's no longer for us, they're in conditions that we shouldn't be in. There is no longer a Red Sea experience. You don't get the fireworks. You don't see that awesome power. You have to really hear the Lord calling you out like he did those people and just said, whoever will, can come back to Jerusalem. And whoever hears that voice then has to act on faith and simply come on faith and go back. And as he steps out and goes that way, starts going that track, he finds out that everything's been provided for him to go back. Everything. Cyrus had provided everything for those exiles and building materials for them to build the temple again. All that has been provided. But no fireworks. Simple faith. Simple faith. And that brings us to the practical part, the part that we cringe at a lot of times because it touches us where we live. And so I want to go back to this idea here. Be holy, for I am holy. And in this, I just want to say that even though we experience dark times in our lives, God doesn't change. There's a great Horatius Bonar song for the table. I change, he changes not. You know? It's a wonderful song. And that's us. We change. Our love for him fluctuates. You know? I wish it did. I wish mine did. I wish I was red hot for him all the time. But I do know this. I know my experience has always been this. When I've always turned back, I've always found out that his love has never abated. His love has never gotten 1 ounce colder. It's always that white-hot love. And he's always waiting for you to come back. Now, there are consequences that we will face, but the thing is, the love is never gone. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to know. But this morning, this last time we looked at, for I am holy. And this morning, what we want to do is we want to look at this one. Be holy. And if we were, now you guys that are old as me, you know this. Remember diagramming sentences? Yeah, okay. Wasn't that fun? I love diagramming sentences. It was better than writing because you had all these little things and stuff like that. But you, if you were diagramming this sentence, how would you diagram it? I know, but there's something. Yes. There you go. See, you got a teacher here. You put you in parentheses because what is it saying? Who's to be holy? You. It's understood, right? You. Be holy, for I am holy. So this part is talking to us. This is what the Lord is saying to us. After he said, look, I am holy, and he shows us himself as being holy, then he says, now, I want you to be holy. And that's where we want to start today. Now, this is our calling. This is the calling God has for us. He wants us to be holy. He's called us to be holy. And in looking at being holy, okay, we've been called to be holy, and we want to say, well, what is holy? Okay? And means to be separate. I want you to be separate. And what I mean by this is, you know, we've been delivered out from one kingdom into the kingdom of the Son of His love, right? We're supposed to remain in that kingdom. We've come out of the one world and we're placed in another world. Now he's saying, be separate. Stay in that world. Stay in that kingdom that I brought you into. Be separate. Don't be mixed. Don't get mixed in there. And then, be pure. What's pure? It means to have more than just an outward appearance of holiness. And you know, I think sometimes we mix up holiness and righteousness. Righteousness does not get you holiness. But holiness gets you righteousness. And what we think is we have this outward appearance, like the Pharisees. The Pharisees looked for this. This is us. We're pure. We're perfect. Look at what we don't do. Look at what we do. We do the right things. We don't do the wrong things. Okay? And that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the outward appearance of holiness, but he wants an outward appearance that grows from an inward purity of thought and motive. And that, remember when Jesus, our Lord, was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, how he took the law deeper than the surface. You know, remember when we were studying the Sermon on the Mount? And he's saying, you have heard it said, but I say, you have heard it said, don't commit adultery. Oh, okay, I haven't committed adultery. But I say, whosoever looketh on another. Man, that's a whole different level, isn't it? It's an upper, we're taking it because we're ascending. We're getting off the earthly plane and we're ascending. We're ascending up that holy mountain, which we were called to live on in Zion. And so, that's what purity is in this holiness. And then, it's other than. We are other than. And what other than just means is our character is other than the world's character. Jesus said about his disciples, he said, you're light. The world's in darkness, but you are the light of the world. You're like a city set on the hill. You're other than the rest. You're the salt of the earth. You have a different taste. You're the ones that portray me. And, you know, salt isn't just something that tastes. It's something that preserves. And it preserves the purity of who God is. You know, in a land where you had the Pharisees running around and they were righteous, outwardly righteous, but the purity of who he is was missing. And that's what the Lord's saying, you're salt. I want to preserve who I am through you. I want people to see who I am through you. You're salt. Preserve my image. Preserve who I am. Preserve my dignity. Preserve my personality. Preserve everything that I am. This is our calling. This is what it means to be holy. Now, The other thing it says, now, I can say that we are holy in this sense. It's a very positional thing, right? We're holy. He's made us holy. We can look at it like this. He has separated us, right? I mean, if you look at as a picture, Israel and Egypt, Israel went down to Egypt and they lost their identity almost, right? And then they're delivered from Egypt and they came out of Egypt and the Lord separated them from the Egyptians, right? And he put between them the Red Sea. So we are holy. We have a standing that's holy. God has already separated us to himself. But what we like to do is we like to live in that standing and not walk in that standing. And there's a difference. And sometimes I think what's happening is we've misunderstood grace so much because we've heard so much that grace means you don't have to work. Grace means you don't have to work as far as anything that has to do with your getting right with God. There's nothing you can do. That's why we're saved by grace. But there's another side of grace too, and then grace is that response to what's been done for you. And so we can say this. Here the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt and they got to Mount Horeb, right? Were they to live at Mount Horeb? I mean, they were given the law there, right? So why don't they just put their tents up and live there? Because that wasn't God's purpose for them. He had a land for them to live in, a land for them to populate in, and they had to take it on themselves. They had to walk by faith, get in there, they had to drive out certain things, and it took some effort. Now, did that gain them standing with God? No. God, they already had this separate, they're already separated people. They're his people. But it gains them everything God has for them in practical outworking of those things. And in that, you know, they find out who God is. And every step we go, when we look at these things that I'm going to talk about, every step we go, in the fulfilling of these things, we find out in every step that God reveals himself to us. God reveals himself a little more and a little more and a little more. And so that we're always finding God. And so when we look at this verse here, pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord, it's true. If you're not pursuing the standing he's given you, then you're never going to see him because you're stuck at Horeb. And you're never going any further than that. And remember, at Horeb, it was like, oh, this is too scary for me. Well, you go up there, Moses. And you know something? We like that. It's so much easier to have someone else go up for us. That's why, you know, we have things where you have an office of in the church. I'm a pastor or a teacher like this, and this is all I do. Because now you guys don't have to do it. Isn't that cool? You can just listen to me, and I'll do all the work for you. But that's not how it's supposed to be. We're all supposed to be priests. Every man a priest, because that's what God originally wanted. Every man having this relationship with him. Every man working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Because it's God who works in them. And that's what we want to look at today. So, let's go on here, okay? Now, it is given us to make this calling sure. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. It says, we want to make this calling sure, calling and election sure. We are to be diligent in making this calling sure. You're not supposed to be lax in doing it. Oh, yeah, I'll just ride on somebody's coattails or something like that. No, we're to be diligent in following into this holiness. And so the question then I'll ask this is, how do I pursue holiness? And I want to just make three things about pursuing holiness. You know, that's not the 1, 2, 3 steps of how to get holiness, but These three things are necessary in order for us to pursue holiness. Notice I'm saying to pursue it, to go after it. Now, I just want to say that when we talk about holiness, we are not talking about just I'm doing stuff that isn't bad. That makes me a holy person. That's not it. And I want to go down to the root of holiness to begin with. And where is the root of holiness? Well, it's in the Holy of Holies in our own lives. It's in the very center of our beings. So how do I pursue holiness? Okay, there's three things that are vital to this pursuit. And the first thing is there's a hymn, 538. We're not going to read it, but how many of you know this hymn? Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Okay? It's a wonderful hymn. Okay? But this is vital. We have to take time to be holy. In our pursuit of holiness, we have to take time. Now, what does that mean? And I want to just make this really, really, really practical. This has to do with our quiet time. Okay, or some people don't call it quiet time. Some people call it a morning watch. Some people call it their daily devotion. Okay, but I just want to say this about your quiet time. This is the foundation of your pursuit of holiness. This is the foundation. Everything else is built. Your whole walk with the Lord is built on this. And I have to ask myself this question. How do I approach this time? You know, because, you know, we get into habits, just like in the Lord's table here. We get into a habit, and pretty soon it becomes a rote thing. We're just doing things. And we forget, and that's why it's really easy to, you know, forget the presence of God and just do our routine. So how do I approach this time? That really is going to help me in my pursuit, because it can't just be the ritual. And I'm not saying just because it's a ritual to you that you just stop it. No, it's a good habit. Okay, but in the habit, let us think about this. Okay, first of all, it says, take time to be holy. Well, be holy, what does that mean? We just said it means be set apart and separated. And this is my question to myself and to you. Do I set myself apart for this time? Now, what does that mean? Do I set myself apart for this time? Do I get myself away from distractions when I have my quiet time? Now, I don't know when some of you guys have your quiet time. Some people have it in the morning. Some people have it in the evening. Some people have it both times. But the thing is, do I set myself apart for this time? And that can mean a lot of things, you know. And what I mean really is, are you apart from distractions? Are you apart, you know, what are your distractions? What are the things that distract you? Now, I've got an old timer. Okay. Doesn't have very much on it. Has a camera. No games. You know. And I think I can text on this. Okay. What are your phones like? Huh? What do you got, Noah? Nothing, huh? How many of you guys got smartphones? Come on, raise your hand. You got a smartphone? Yeah, the young generation over there, right? They've outsmarted you, haven't they? Because they're like the television used to be. Now you don't even need the television anymore to distract you, right? Because it's all there on your phone. What's on your phone? You got all these, what do they call it, apps? I don't even know what an app is. You know, I will, I'm sure, but you have all these things, all these little whistles and bells that distract you. I mean, you put your phone away and you go to your quiet time. How about this? I know this is for some of us older people. All we think about is our day ahead. We got our day planner out. That's in here. It's not this day planner here, but the day planner is right in here, right? And yeah, right there. Okay, and you can't get it out. You're trying to get out, right? Retired, and he's still got a day planner. That's amazing. Okay, but you know, are we separate from distractions? That's a big thing, to be separate from distractions, because the Lord's trying to speak to us. The Lord wants to break through to us, and so that's why I say, are we set apart in these times? And and another thing about apart, some of us are like this, and I'll have my quiet time, but after I read the newspaper, or after I check and see the Dodgers won. And you're laughing. Okay? How many of you have the same type of situation? It might not be whether the Dodgers won or your newspaper or something else, but there's something else. You got to go to that first. Set apart. Who's first? That's a big question in your quiet time. And the next thing is, holy means pure. And pure, again, there's a moral purity, but what I want to look at is that, you know, what about the sins of omission and commission, all the type of sins we pick up? Do we not even think about that when we come into the Lord's presence? Because, you know, the Lord himself, he can't abide with sin, even the smell of it. He's holy. And not only can't abide it, he doesn't wink at it either. Oh, yeah, I'll let it slide. Oh, yeah, that's just a small thing. Just come on into my presence. No, he's holy. That's why David said in the Psalms, "Search me, O Lord, and see if there be anything that's wrong, so I can come into your presence." And that's part of preparing our way to come into his holy presence. Is to come in and think, Lord, where have I been today? Not just where have I been physically, where's my mind been? Where's my heart been? I need to come in, I need to get it clean. That's why before you entered into the holy place, what was the first thing you came to? It was the altar. Altar of sacrifice. Sin has to be dealt with. You got to come in through the altar. And once you get through the altar, you can come in with your offering. Be pure. We have to come in without our sandals, you know, because sometimes our manner of life has been unpleasing to him before we come in. That has to be dealt with. And also, I mean about sin, is we need to see God, sin as God sees it. In other words, a lot of things we go, oh, that's not sin. But to God, it's something. And I'm not saying to start, you know, looking really closely at yourself. You'll know when there's something wrong with you. If you're tolerating something that the Lord thinks is sin, because you'll lack his presence. You'll lack the sense of his presence in your quiet time. And he won't give it back to you until it's dealt with. And you have to see things as sin. And you have to agree with him that they are sin. And then you have to do away with them as he directs you. You know, sometimes we're caught in sins that, because of our weakness of our flesh, that we're over and over confessing. We need to be praying for deliverance. You know, because the Lord wants to deliver us from those things. He doesn't want us to just tolerate and just say, I can never get over. We need to be seeking the Lord and say, Lord, you know my weakness is here I am. I need that deliverance. And that sometimes we have to have other people come in to help us. But it's worth it because it gets you back into his presence. So there's a purity there. Then it says, take time. And what do we mean by take time? First thing I think is when you're taking time, you focus. I just heard, now I don't want to offend all you people that have this, but the guy who came up with the term ADHD said it wasn't a real thing. And then he died. Okay, no, I'm not saying that there isn't, because, you know, with so many different drugs that have been around and stuff like that, you know, to help us cope with life and stuff like that. I have no problem with that. And the things that, you know, we're so tantalated by the things like that, we visual things we have to see. We're watching TV, we're looking at the computer, we're doing stuff like that. I can see that. And I know that if you look at, I look at my students, and they'll go, they'll start reading my reading assignment like that. They'll get 10 pages of reading assignment. They'll start to read and they'll go, "Now, this is too much. 10 pages! This is too much." With, you know, history books got pictures and graphs and stuff. 10 pages! How much text is that? What, 6? Too much. Too much for me. Got to focus on things. You know, and we're geared to, like even the television shows today, they have 3 plots going through them because people get bored with one. So they go, oh, this one's new. Okay, yeah. And they get drawn back to the other because they've forgotten about, oh, it's new. Everything has to be new. Everything has to be moving fast. Everything's got to be moving. Boom, 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 boom. Everything, you know, we've got to get that stimulation somehow. You've got to get focused. What are you looking for in your quiet time? Looking for the Lord. You got to get focused. You know, when I was a basketball player in junior college, I had a coach. I was like about a 50% free thrower in high school. So it was really like flip a coin if I made it or not. And this coach took me aside. He goes, "Your free throws stink. Come here. You gotta concentrate on your free throws." And see, he made me every day, I'd take a basketball, go up against the wall, and just practice my follow-through 100 times. Talk about boring. My free throw percentage went up to over 80% because he got me focused. Same thing in our quiet time. We have to be focused. How can we hear the Lord? How can we see the Lord if we got all these other distractions? We have to focus. And then I have invest the time. And investing means a couple of things. It means you're spending something. You might say, "Well, I'm saving." No, you're not. You're spending it. Because when I invest my money in something, they like my, what is it? What do they call 401ks? I give it to Tom Roberts and he takes care of it. So I don't know what's happening. Okay. But I give it to him and I invest it. But really, I'm spending money. I'm giving him my money and they're investing it. They're putting it in other things, right? So really, I'm spending it. Or better yet, I'm giving my money. But I'm expecting a return, right? Tom's in here. You hear that, Tom? But the whole thing is this. Look at time in that way. Your time. You're investing your time in something. You're spending your time. You're giving your time. But you're expecting something back from it. You want to be, what I would say, you're a spiritual entrepreneur. You're spending your time and you're risking it. What if this doesn't work? You're taking a risk. But you know, we have the promise. Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. You know, he who comes, you know, and diligently seeks me, you know, I'll show myself to. Again, diligently. And here's the thing. We give them something that's temporal, our time, and we reap eternal. We get the presence of God. We get the wisdom of God. We get something that's eternal for our lives. So this is the first thing. It brings in the dividends of faith. So that's the first vital thing. The second vital thing, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So secondly, I just want to say that you want to pursue holiness. We talked about having that quiet time. Then you have to make the good confession. This is a public thing. We need to confess who we are. All right? And there's a, and it, this is, like I said, this is a public thing. The world needs to know. There are no closet Christians. There should be no closet Christians. It should all be out in the open. I mean, even if we don't say something, at least our life should show it so people are asking, what's different about you? And that we have that word in time and due season. But the whole thing is make the good confession. And in making the good confession, what is the confession you're making? The confession that you're making is, I belong to God. I don't belong to this world. It's like that Ira Stanfill song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. This is our confession. I'm not a part of this world. It's just like in Mimosa, when she comes back from Donover, and she comes back to her home, and she has met the Lord. A little girl, she's met the Lord. And it comes the next day, where all the people in the village, they take Shiva, who is their village's god's, ashes on their forehead, and she refuses to take them. She's making the good confession. I'm not his anymore. I belong to someone else. And we're talking about Monday, right? We want to acknowledge ourselves before, or we want to acknowledge him before men. We're having a baptism next week. Baptisms are public things. You're making a public confession that you no longer belong to this world, but you belong to Christ. You're no longer following the ways of this world, you're following Christ. This is who I am now. I'm not this other one that I used to be. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. And going along with this good confession, okay, we're to be faithful to him who's called us. And in being faithful, now some of us went to a wedding last night, okay? And, you know, when Laura and Justin, they took those vows and they took the ring on, what they were doing then is they were setting their hearts on a course of faithfulness. From that moment on, they're saying, I'm going to be faithful to you, whatever happens, okay? And I do. I've got the ring that shows. I've got that outward profession. That outward profession also should be the way we walk in this world, the manner of life that we have. I set my heart on the course of faithfulness. Like Daniel in Daniel chapter 1. I don't want to defile myself with the king's stuff. I set my heart not to defile myself. And when things come up, I set my course on that faithfulness. And when something comes in to disrupt it, all of a sudden, you look to the Lord. Lord, you want me this way. What are you going to do? How are you going to work? How are you going to work this out for me? And we find out that the Lord was ahead of him. Right? He had that eunuch who liked him, and said, "I don't know if I can do this, but you talked me into testing. Okay, we'll give you 10 days." He set that heart on that course for faithfulness, and he was rewarded for it. Not only that, but this is one of my favorite album covers. This is Keith Green's No Compromise. Isn't that a great picture? Because it reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No compromise. And all that means is, when the world's piper plays the tune, it means I don't dance the dance. Just like here, you see the guy being carried in the sedan chair. Everybody's bowing down. And look at even this guy here. Get down! What's the matter with you? How many of our brothers and sisters are this guy right here? Or this guy right here? What about me? Am I that guy? I'm not going to compromise. I no longer belong to that world. I'm not going to half and half. I'm not going to live one foot in one world and one foot in the other. I'm not going to have, you know, I'm glad my wife, I know my wife loves me because she took my name. And she didn't hyphenate it. You know what I mean? She's not called Barbara Hendricks Bogdanowicz. She's wholly mine. No vestige of the old. She doesn't even answer to Barbara Hendricks anymore. It's a foreign name to her. She goes by my name. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're to go by his name. Be called by his name and not compromise that. I'm his. You know, we like to think of this as a hymn that I'm his and he is mine. But, you know, the thing is, the first part of that is I am his. That's the first part. You want to know him as yours? Then you need to be his. That's first. I am his. I give myself to him fully. And I'm not going to dance with the piper and I'm not going to bow down, even if he doesn't save me from the fire. Isn't that what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were? And even if he doesn't save us, we're not bowing down. That's with us. Because they're going to see the Lord. Remember I told you, each time you see the Lord? They're going to see the Lord. Whether they see him down saving them from the fire or whether the fire consumes them, they're going to see him in his presence. Either way, they're going to see the Lord. That's what his will is for us, to see him, to know him in this way. And so, we want to be faithful to the one who called us. And then the third vital thing is our testimony. You know, they love not the world. They love not their lives. The blood of, what is it? The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, they love not their lives unto death. Okay? So the question is, what's your testimony? Now, we used to think back, I remember, it was your testimony was how you got saved. That's not your testimony. Our testimony, every one of our testimonies should be this. Jesus Christ is Lord. Not Lord as a title that somewhere else that we just say, yeah, everybody's Lord. No, our testimony is this. Our life bears it out that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord in my life. That's my testimony. And this is a vital to pursuing holiness. And when you talk about him being Lord, well, if he's a Lord, then what is he looking for in his people? He's looking for obedience because he's Lord. He's not president. He's not elected. You made him Lord. When you were saved, you said, come in, save me from my sins, and be my Lord and Savior. Lord. That's the part we don't like that much, do we? We like the Savior part. Lord part's a little tough. But that's supposed to be our testimony. These are Lord. Now, what do I mean by obedience? See, because we just like to do this obedience, okay? We're going to just look up things in the Bible and we're just going to obey them. No, that's not obedience. Oh, well, it is obeying. You're obeying the letter, okay? But the letter's not going to do anything for you except to lead you to find out that you're a failure. Then you turn to the Lord. But what he is saying is, who are you obeying? You're obeying the life of Christ that he's put in you. Someone mentioned it today in a prayer, I think it was Bobby Greco, about the Holy Spirit living in us. And that's it. He's there. We're to obey him. And we can grieve him, and we can tell him no. And yet he resides in us. We're holy because he resides in us. But isn't it interesting? He's called the Holy Spirit. Okay, yes, that's because of who he is. He is holy. He's pure. But at the same time, because he is the Holy Spirit, he knows how to lead us into holiness. That's his nature. He knows how to lead us there. And you know, we don't have to have people. I mean, in 2 John chapter 2, it talks about we have an anointing. You know, we don't need a teacher. We don't have to have someone standing up here and teaching you. Because even like using mimosa again, that Spirit of God was in her, even though she couldn't. She was illiterate and everything. How did she know to do certain things? It was because she had that Spirit living in her, saying, don't do this, don't go this way, don't do this. Well, it's the same with us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Convicts us of sin. Don't do that. Oh, it's not right. Or, let's go here. Let's do this. Say this to this person. You were just reading this verse that I gave you this morning in your time, I want you to go and share it with that person. We're obeying him. We're obeying the Spirit. And so our testimony is that He's Lord because we're obeying Him. Like I said, it's not just singing, "Oh, Jesus is Lord, we love you." No, it's we're bowing the knee to Him every day. And it should be every minute. And when we fall out of that place, we should just confess and say, "Lord, I'm sorry I took you off the throne. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. I want to put you back on the throne." So these are those things that are very, very vital to us. And then we find out in this that we are brought into something greater. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're not alone. You don't have to make this journey alone. Called out together. A holy nation. What is a nation? Well, you can say a nation is one type of people. But you know something here? We don't have one type of people here. We have some Chinese people here. We have some African-American people here. We've got some Polish people here. I'm sure we got some Scottish people, some Italians. Got a whole hodgepodge of things, right? Well, then what makes us a nation? We're all governed by one Lord. That's what we're all under one government. That's what makes us a nation. You know, this is His eternal purpose, because back in Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, He said, "I want you. This is what I want of you. I want you to be my special people. This is my desire for it." And here you see in the New Testament, it hasn't changed. It's an eternal purpose. And look, it says, "You may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That doesn't mean just we're just praising. It just means what's coming out of us is His very character and going out to the world. We're proclaiming who He is. It's almost like when Moses was hidden in the cleft of the rock. When the Lord came by, it says He proclaimed Himself. Well, now that's us. He uses us to proclaim Himself. That's why He asks us to be holy. Because He wants His name, His character, to be unadulterated. And this is a wonderful thing that He's called us to. That we might be these ones that He can flow through and people can see Him. Many faceted, because we're all different. Many faceted, because He's so big and so great and so wonderful. Now, in ending, I want to do this. For you young believers, and by young believers, I not mean teenagers and people in their young 20s. I mean anybody who is young in the faith. You could be 80 years old and just be saved. Okay, you're young in the faith. Okay, an exhortation for you. All right? Daniel purposed in his heart. Young brothers and sisters in the faith, the beginning of being holy is purposing in your heart. Now, you know, purposing your heart is one thing. It's going to be tested. The first thing is go to the Lord and just tell Him, I want to be yours. Purpose in my heart to be yours. And you'll find out that after that, Daniel had to act by faith as the Lord gave him opportunity to live out what He'd purposed in his heart. I don't want to defile myself. And then the Lord gave him opportunity not to defile himself. You would think that, you know, we look at it like this. He would keep us from defiling ourselves, right? But what does He do? He brings him an opportunity where he can defile himself. And that's so strange. But what? He's given us this Holy Spirit. And it was to say, he acted by faith as the Lord gave him opportunity to live out what he'd purposed in his heart. You know, the Lord wants to put in our hearts that purpose to live for Him. And then for you guys that are like me, you older guys that have just maybe hit a snag and found yourself in Babylon in captivity. We read that verse in Hebrews chapter 12. I want to go back to preface it, because before it gets to the pursue holiness, I think this really speaks to exiles. And starting in verse 7, it says, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue holiness, without which no one will see God. Now, for those of you that are in exile, let me say this. You know how you get your hands strengthened and your knees so they're working and not feeble? And how you make straight paths for your feet? It's your quiet time. You know, that is at such an attack right now on believers. And it's something that you really have to grapple for. And that's what the Lord is asking you to do. Be jealous for that time. Because without that time, you're not going to see him. You're going to be swept away, and you're not even going to know it. When I wrote a little note here. It said, use the yellow paper. Okay. Quiet times being assaulted by work, by social media, by the computer. And these things addict us. Not just, can't read my writing. Not just our kids, but us older folk. And if we give up the sacred ground of our quiet time, we won't see God. If we don't give place to God, that place will be taken by the things that we love instead of him. You understand that? It'll be taken so that you don't have it anymore. It'll be replaced. And it'll lead us away from him who loved us and washed us from our sins. Hebrews has 5 warnings in it. This is a warning. This is a warning to me. Maybe it's a warning to you. But this is serious stuff. Okay? The Lord wants us to be holy. He wants us to know him. And we can't bypass any of the things that we have to do to know him. And this quiet time ranks first, because that's our holy of holies. And it's being taken from us. And we're letting it be taken from us. I'm sorry, not we. I'll say I. But thank God he sends us prophets. Even in exile, those prophets came. Got the people back on this. So if you hear his voice, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart and answer him. I plead with myself and with us. Be holy. Be holy. Pursue holiness so that you can know him and see him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you that you have set before us this morning this table. And now you've set before us this purpose. This purpose to know you, to be the ones that show who you are to the whole world. What a glorious purpose that is. Oh Lord, we pray, don't let us be robbed of this by the things of this world. Help us not to love the world and the things thereof. Lord, we're prone in this world to do these things. And we ask in your holy name that you'd give us deliverance from them. And Lord, that you would encourage us to keep that time holy for you. Help us, Lord, to set it apart for you. And Lord, we pray that we'd see you in it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.